The board, the regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals is now open. The notice for this meeting, the time, the date, place, and the agenda was given by publishing a legal notice on Tuesday, July 3rd, 2014, in the Aiken Standard. By Wednesday, July the 4th, notice to the contiguous property owners were mailed. Signs were posted on the property. By June the 20th, 2014, notice for this meeting was sent to the webmaster for posting on the city webpage, to the tourism coordinator for announcing on the city cable television station, and to the city clerk for posting on the municipal building notice board at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly provide false information that's according to Section 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. Those persons that wish to have a conversation with the board, we ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so your conversation with the board can be properly recorded. Anyone that wishes to receive a copy of today's proceeding can sign up on the double sheets just beyond the double doors or a call to the planning office. Please state your name and your address. To the board, you have received copies of the May 27, 2014 meetings. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? If not, the chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes of the past meeting.
Do we have a second?
A second.
I think you're the only one that was here. It's been properly moved and seconded that the minutes of the May 27, 2014 meeting are being approved. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, with one extension, Price was not in attendance at the meeting.
Well, I better abstain too, sir, since I was not there. So
that's corrected, Mr. Cowan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now,
on old business, the final orders.
Yeah, now that the minutes have been signed, I'll pass the final orders for signature.
Thank you. That's the only old business item, so we'll move directly to new business. I call your attention to application 1493019. Various requests approval regarding building separation for property at 697 Fox Haven Drive. This is Zone PR. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
I haven't received any, but I would like to introduce two new exhibits into the record, which are in front of you. These are just turned in by the applicant, and they will be recorded as exhibits F and G. F will be the drawing that has a shaded triangular shape indicating that portion of the house that intrudes into the building separation. That will be F. And G is a photograph of the corner of the building demarcated by the two orange flags that intrude. It's roughly 12 inches deep and 8 feet long. So that would be exhibits F and G.
Thank You have a presentation?
Yes, I have a short presentation. The application that has come before you is on behalf of Keystone Homes. And it's a property located at 697 Fox Haven Drive in an area that's zoned planned residential. And we are familiar with the fact that in the PR zone, the buildings don't typically have setbacks from property lines, but there is a building separation minimum distance, which between multi-story buildings would be 20 feet. The property in question is shown on this exhibit. It's the middle lot. And it's a one-story building, and on each side are two-story buildings. It is, the middle lot was built after the two side lots, and after initial construction, they discovered that the lower right-hand corner is 1.2 feet into the building separation distance. That is, the distance between the nearest building is 18.8 feet, rather than 20. And the reason behind that has to do with an error initially in which the rear property line, which is 60.18 feet in actuality and was marked so on the drawing for the site plan, was however actually drawn physically on the line as 61.8 feet. So once the building was located on the ground, that difference became a problem. We've had in the past, not too frequently, but again, not infrequently, the similar situations where due to some error in the preliminary drawings or the survey staking, a house will be constructed and then later found to intrude into the building separation distance. And I feel that that's probably the case in this situation. So when we're looking at the criteria, probably one of the hardest criteria to deliberate is number three, the conditions are not the result of the applicant's own actions. For myself, when I look at this, I look at the question of intentionality. That is, did you intentionally do something that got you in a box later? And if we look at it in this light, the answer to that would be no. It was pretty much just an accident that sort of carried through to the actual construction of the house itself. The intrusion of the setback was discovered by a building inspector, who Brunson, who on his own always checks our setbacks for us. So we appreciate the building division in doing that. Here's a photograph of the house in question, and this is the corner that intrudes, and it's the actual intrusion itself is roughly 4 square feet, and that will be also shown in your Exhibit F, your new Exhibit F. 12 inches deep, 8 feet long. And that would be the maximum intrusion. Of course, it lessens as the building, you know, proceeds further along the property line. And then this is the other side. This is the house that's between the two-story houses here. Did you have any questions?
I'm glad you made the statement that the building inspector Brunson detected the error, because I was going to credit another credit to our compliance.
Yes, the two departments have a very good working relationship. Mm-hmm. And I would like to add, if I may, that once notified of the problem, the builder voluntarily stopped all work on the property.
Yeah. Any questions to the city?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Matt. Chairman. Talking about inspections, I assume there were no footers poured here, that this was a slab. Aren't there inspections before the slab is poured?
Yes, but remember, we don't measure from the concrete foundation, we measure from the wall. And this is a question of building separation, not distance from a property line.
Well, that's an important point, because in the case of a PR, we're not really concerned with setbacks. It doesn't matter where the property line is. The only critical measurement that we're concerned with is the separation of buildings. So they could lay out their batter boards and put in their forms wherever they want. It doesn't really matter where the property line is. The only critical measurement to concern yourself with is how far is this going to be from the building adjacent on either side. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions to the city?
I do. I have a quick question. Jason. Even with the lessened amount of feet, I think it's maybe 1 foot 2 inches, there's no fire issue that Department of Public Safety has discovered based on that, right?
No, I have gotten the okay from Chief Bronco and Mike Jordan, the Chief Building Official.
Okay.
So building and fire have reviewed this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Exhibit G, is that white around the base of the house, is that where the slab is?
Yes.
Okay, so it extends out a little bit.
Yes.
Okay.
And we didn't get into this too much because it was a little bit confusing, but if you actually measure the distance between the buildings themselves and not the corners, which is what the surveyor did, it's actually a distance that's 19 feet, not the 18 point whatever, but because the surveyors used to property lines and corners and didn't recognize that we don't really care about corners, we just care about separation between walls.
One other question. What is the separation distance between the closest point on this subject building and the adjacent property to the south?
Well, it would be
18.8. Okay.
Or actually 19.
19.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the separation distance between this building and the adjacent building to the north?
Yes, I looked into that, and I found that if they had known about the error, they could have moved that subject property, that building, over a wee bit and still met all the building separation distances. I think I included it. Yeah, the separation to the north is 21.6 feet.
21.6 feet?
Mm-hmm. At the narrowest point to the house to the north or the left side.
Okay, I guess I'm not understanding Exhibit C. The only measurements I see is the distance from the building on the north to the property line is 12.3. And from this building on the corner to the property line is 7.8.
Yes, but that's my point. They measure from the corner, and they're not measuring between.
But the corner can't be closer than 20 feet to the other corner.
They're not in alignment. They're not aligned. So the corner for the subject building isn't next to any building. In order to measure between buildings, you have to measure from the corner of the neighbor to the north straight across to the wall.
Okay.
Okay, and that's where you get the 21.6 feet.
I can't believe that. See, that's 19 feet 11 inches, and I realize there's not a corner there. But if you draw that back, it can't be a whole foot.
There's one.
Going to come and look?
There's a
scale drawing here.
Well, I wouldn't trust the scale. I'm just wondering. I'll ask the applicant.
Okay.
How close those two buildings are to the north. When I got there, I had wished I had brought my tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I measured it in the field. That's where I got the 21.
Well, that's why I asked you. You did measure it.
And what, yes.
And you measured 21 feet?
21 points, yeah. Between the corner of the neighbor straight out to the subject house.
Okay, if you go, okay, I see what you do. You did it from corner to corner. which is a triangular.
No, I went from the corner of the neighbor's house straight out to the wall of the subject house.
And you got 21 feet?
Uh-huh.
I hope the applicant has measured that and can tell us what their measurement is. I have no other questions, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any other questions of the city? Thanks, Andrew. Mr. Reddy?
Hello, my name is Chris Reddy, representing Keystone Homes in this variance request. My address is 2078 Edgefield Highway, Aiken, South Carolina. I've lived and worked in Aiken County and Aiken City my entire life, and I've been working for Keystone Homes about 10 years now. And in Aiken County and City combined, I've built about 600 houses, or been supervising the construction of about 600 houses in that time frame. This is the first and hopefully the last time I'll have to come before you and ask for your forgiveness. But essentially what happened here was an error on our part, and it began early on in the construction process, and it just kind of got missed until the house got to the current stage of construction where we stopped. Mr. Cromer and Steve Fox also was the people who notified me when they realized the error. And then the two drawings, the drawing and picture I just put together today to kind of hopefully give you a blown up version of the square footage that we're talking about on the home in question here at 697 Fox Haven Drive. You guys have any questions for me?
Questions for the board from Mr. Brady?
No, I have questions. You heard me direct a question to the city. Can you tell me at its closest point, not the wall, though, the closest point, what is the distance between this house and the house to the north?
Yes, when I measured it on site, the day after I was notified, because I was actually off on a vacation day, when I measured it, it was 19 foot exactly on the south side and 21 feet 8 inches on the north side.
The closest point?
The closest point, yes, sir.
Okay. Tell me, I don't mind, and I don't think this board minds, forgiveness for error. What I'd really like to know is a cause, and accurate cause. You see, if I believe you that the draftsman, the architect, mismeasured the distance in the back. However, if that is the reason, I have a hard time believing it, because if that was the case, it would be the north or the southeast corner and not the southwest corner that would be closer, that would intrude within the 20 feet.
Southeast, as in the...
In other words, the back corner. Would be the corner that would be intruding, mm-hmm. because you would have assumed that the property line was further to the south.
That's correct.
So how does the other corner become the place where the intrusion occurs?
Well, I think the initial error, I think Exhibit A shows the original site plan that was drawn. And what Keystone does, once we get these site plans back from our drafting company, we send them to our surveying company. We don't have our concrete guys or footing guys laying houses out on properties. We actually send it to the surveying company. The surveyor called me and didn't specify the exact mistake. He couldn't place the exact mistake because he's working with a drawing that he's putting into his own computer system. But he said, you know, these dimensions of 8 feet 7 inches and 8 feet 6 inches on the front left and front right corners on Exhibit A, he said he could not meet that requirement based on...
What exhibit?
Exhibit A.
A.
H.
A.
H.
No, A.
A is an
apple. Exhibit A, okay.
That exhibits B, site plan A, original drawing.
Okay.
That site plan is the original site plan that actually has the error. The dimension is marked correctly, but the line was misdrawn. Our surveying company found a mistake. He couldn't identify the exact mistake, but he called me and said, "Hey, Chris, I can't meet this 8'7" and 8'6" setbacks." And he asked me what, you know, I wanted him to do, and I said, "Just center the home site on the home, or center the home on the home site, like we always do," because in my mindset, we had plenty of room to spare. When in actuality, we didn't, because I was still working off of this drawing.
Okay, what I'm hearing is it's not because the measurement in the back was inaccurate. It was you made the decision to tell the surveyor to center it on the property.
That's correct.
So that's the reason that this house is outside of the 20 foot.
That's correct. But it wasn't an intentional intrusion.
I believe it, but what I'd like is the truth.
Yes, sir.
The exact reason. And it's not because the back measurement was assumed to be 61 point something instead of 60 feet.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason.
The end reason was me approving.
You just told them to go ahead and center it on the lot.
That's correct.
Did it occur to you that you should have told them to center it on the lot, but make sure that it's 20 feet from the adjacent house to the south?
It probably should have, but as I stated,
it's the only measurement you have to concern yourself with. There's no setbacks.
Yeah, it is one of the measurements.
It is the only measurement you have to concern yourself with because there's no setbacks.
The approved plat still shows setbacks, so I am concerning myself, even though the zoning requirement doesn't have other setbacks. We still concern ourselves with the setbacks on the approved plat because...
So you interpreted the 20-foot separation into your architectural mode of setbacks.
No, well...
Well, you drew it as 8 feet some odd inches.
Yeah, when we drew it originally, we drew it... Our drafter, who draws the site plans, keeps a running drawing of the entire neighborhood. So every time he's drawing this lot, he's drawing it beside the neighboring lot on existing houses. He's taking the 20 foot into consideration. And that's why when I told the surveyor to make the correction, I was mistakenly thinking we had plenty of room to spare.
But you didn't check to see if you did.
But I didn't check to see if we did. Yes.
Okay. A lesson to be learned here is it's good to take the 20-foot separation and try to maximize the number of houses you can squeeze in by putting that in an architectural way of setbacks. I mean, right to the inch.
Yes, sir.
But the lesson to be learned is keep in mind the 20-foot or 15-foot separation if they're single floor.
Very
obviously, you didn't.
Not in this particular case. I think initially my mindset was our surveyor, I depended on the surveyor too much, so to speak. So I didn't, when you pay a trade partner to do a job and you trust that they do it right. And in this case, I didn't double check behind that.
Well, you're skating things pretty skinny too when you're trying to meet the requirement to the inch.
Yes, sir.
Which is what obviously your objective was.
Yeah, we're trying to maximize the home size
to the inch.
To the inch, yes, sir.
Thank you. No more questions.
Jason,
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Any further questions? For
yeah. I'm on just one question,
Chair.
Maybe this is a question for the city, but This one photograph here didn't show the meter box, and this one does. Meter box is what, about 4 inches deep or so?
About 4 inches, yes, sir.
And so that doesn't factor into this, does it, as far as these inches from or 20 feet from one building to the next? You don't.
No, it doesn't. There are a number of allowable intrusions into the building separation setback, like meter box, eaves, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, it's good to know. I'll just say this again, and I think Jason brought this up, that as far as the fire protection access between houses and so forth, public safety has blessed this as far as being able to get to where they need to get to the emergency shutoff and wherever else they need to get to if and when an emergency happens.
I personally spoke directly with Chief Bronco on this, so he's quite comfortable with it.
Concern is also with fire starting and spreading from house to house.
Right.
But I assume the chief didn't recommend any non-combustible materials because of this slight intrusion.
No, he didn't.
What is the square footage of this one-story house?
Yeah, I don't have that right in front of me, but it's approximately 1,500.
14. Any additional questions from the board to Mr. Reddy?
One other. I gather after all of this, and since you're dealing in a plan, in this plan development, and you're trying to maximize your footprint here for your houses and so forth, that you have checks in place to make sure when we're dealing with inches, as Pat said, when you're dealing with inches, there needs to be some checks and balances during the construction process, and I gather you have those in place in some fashion to prevent this. This can be an expensive error here. It could be.
It could be very expensive.
Yeah. So just take that into account as far as having your checks and balances in place. I know surveyors sometimes think corner to corner or so forth, or from lot line setbacks and that type of thing. But if you took that 20-foot stick and you walked down between those houses, the stick shouldn't touch either house.
That's correct.
Okay? And that's, so maybe carrying a 20-foot stick around might be in order. But anyway.
I think we're going to start planning on 20 feet 4 inches.
20 feet 2 inches or 4 inches, something like that, yeah.
No additional questions from the board? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair will now entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Jason?
I move that we deny application 14-93019.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we deny the application. Do we have any discussion?
I applaud Keystone Homes for coming to us and acknowledging the mistake that they made. But when you're in the business of making homes according to a certain type of framework with a certain feet, you have to be in compliance with it. I mean, this is what they do day in and day out. And when you're out of compliance, you have to face the consequences. And because of, you know, you're encroaching on within the 20-foot setback, Mr. Reddy admitted that it was a direct result of his actions, and they just don't meet all the criteria.
Other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I disagree with that. I think that I know that that's the criteria, and I know it should have been done, but, you know, of all the houses this young man has made, and this is his first error that he's not in compliance. Everybody deserves an error one time. And if it came back again, I'd say, no, he's learned his lessons, he's not. But I think that, the small percentage, 1.2 at the max, does not deserve to be denied.
And going back to the city's position about being intentional or having the intent as far as of their actions, there's nothing that states, I don't know, in here or anywhere in the code about intentionally or knowingly. Just says the result of the applicant's actions. And here, if the applicant just admitted it is his direct, his direct result of his actions. There's no intent to be spoken of.
I agree with the motion maker that the application doesn't meet the criteria. It's obviously the result of the applicant's own action. It doesn't meet that criteria. If the board wants to, as a majority, forgive that, that's fine. What really gripes me in this particular case is to come out and right say, hey, we did some sloppy work here. We made an error. And, mea culpa, I'm asking that you forgive us. I know it's going to cost some money, but we've been informed by the state, based on interpretation of state statute, and there's been several court cases that the economic impact of a decision like this should have no influence on the decision. It would obviously cost them considerably to move this or tear it down and rebuild it, but has no bearing on our decision.
Do you have any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, when I first read this and tried to put everything together and understand it, and after looking at the site and then coming back and trying to get clarification from the staff, the first thing that jumped out at me was item number 3 of the 6 criteria. It jumped out due to these conditions, the applicant of the ordinance, the application of the ordinance to this particular piece of property would affect, number four, the conditions are not the result of the applicant's own action. That's what you're referring to, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Number four. Just straight out, boom, number four. Doesn't meet that. Applications can be denied. I hear what you're saying, Pat, about the economic impact shouldn't be a factor in our decision.
Have to ignore it.
And
it's a shame.
That's right. That's right. But I, in deep down in my construction experience, I know errors happen. It to me wasn't intentional, but I agree. When you're dealing with inches, you better be right on. If you're dealing with inches. Here we're not dealing with feet, we're dealing with an inch or two. So you better be right on. And that stick better be right on. But I just feel like with the fact that the 20-foot setback is what it is, but public safety says they don't see an issue with safety, with getting to if it was a 20-inch, if it was 20 feet and there was a fire in the single-story house, you can't tell me it won't impact the houses next to it. You can't. I won't believe it. I believe it will. Whether it's 19 feet or 20 feet or 21 feet, I think it's going to melt the plastic on the other house and possibly set it on fire. So I just hope that the firefighters can get to that switch and kill the electrical and get the fire as quick as possible. So
I'm running my mouth too much, but I just want to say that I think that this type of thing, we're dealing with inches, yes. Number four is not met. But given the circumstances, I would have a hard time trying to deny the variance.
And, like I say, when it was discovered, building was stopped. So it wasn't that they were just going to push on and ask our forgiveness intentionally. And we've dealt with, you know, asking for, you know, forgiveness after a number of times. But, like I say, I just feel like that this is minimal enough, even though it states, and even though, you know, he did say he, ultimately, it was his failure. But like I say, I think this is a lesson learned, but I don't think it's anything we need to deny.
Like I say, when you engage in this type of business day in and day out, you should have some type of buffer, and you should be aware of that, of what separation you need to be adhering to. And when you go against the grain, then you have to suffer the consequences.
Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raising of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is carried 3-2. Complete the agenda. The chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
The Price made the motion. Mr. Chairman, second the motion. The meeting is called to adjournment.